Yo, what's up? Welcome to the OK Beast Podcast, episode 35. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye. Joining me this week, as always, is Ian Prichel. What's up, Ian?
What's up, dude?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm a little hungover.
It doesn't matter how you're doing, because occupying the third seat, we have our special guest, Pixel Brave, a.k.a. Or wait, no. Christian Puente, a.k.a. Pixel Brave. What's up, Christian?
Ohayou gozaimasu, everybody.
I hate you all.
What does that mean?
Good morning.
Nice. Yeah. Is that Spanish?
What? Japanese. No, it's Japanese.
Japanese. I don't know languages. Also, we're on Hangouts, and so we have a back connection. So I can't really hear you. It's okay. I get Japanese and Spanish mixed up all the time. To me, every language just sounds the same, even English. And so,
oh my gosh,
that's how it works. That's how it works. remember those listening. This is the OKB's podcast. It's a gaming centric show where a couple of friends come together and talk about what's going on in our world. We are the official podcast of OKBs.com. If you like the show, remember to subscribe to us on your streaming service of choice. Visit OKBs.com and follow at OKBs now on Twitter. I'm like way out of breath.
Yeah, you're struggling there, buddy. You okay?
Dude, I'm super struggling right now. I don't know why. Christian, what's up? Welcome to the show.
Thanks. How are guys. You doing? I'm doing fantastic because, I mean, I love the show. You know, you guys are both really cool. And so it's really cool finally getting a chance to talk with you guys and hang out.
Thank you very much, friend.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you listen to the show, then you are aware that I start every show with a random question.
Yes. So, man, the last one just went places did not expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to every time. Welcome to every time we have a conversation. Yeah. Bless and I can make everything about something else.
It's because the thing. Wow. It's because you have ADD and then I am like just a very like you find things that I'm fascinated about and so I just want to talk about them. And so like it just becomes a thing of like we go off the rails and then like we just stay there and don't ever come back.
Did you just now add your questions in to the doc?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I was like, I have no time to prepare. I was like, I don't remember seeing him there during the.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is that I'm supposed to surprise Blessing with these questions. Okay. I'm trying to keep Blessing off kilter because he tries to prepare way too much. So I'm trying to inject some spontaneity.
Fair enough. So
since this week a movie came out, Ghost in the Shell, and also a anime trailer came out last week. I thought, and I know that Christian, you like anime. I like anime.
I do.
Blessing is indifferent towards anime. But you're also a film guy. You're also a film guy, Christian. So I want to ask you.
I like the films.
Some questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like films.
Moving pictures, as we call them.
Do you think? Oh God, moving pictures. So do you think that anime properties should ever be attempted in live action at all, or do you think that that medium should kind of stay separate from everything else?
I think live action is a great medium for adapting those stories. Because for several reasons, one of them is you get them in front of a wider audience. Some people just turned off at the idea of animation. No matter how mature the themes are or how good animation will look, people just, you know, paper and pencil is Mickey Mouse to them. You know, they're not gonna give it the time of day. So putting it in live action form gets it in front of more eyes. The only trick is how that's executed, which more times than not is not done very well. So it's just it's just about finding that balance. But I also think you get a chance to it can be more uniform too, because sometimes I don't know how familiar you are with the anime industry, like the behind the scenes stuff, but you know, sometimes there are struggles in the budget halfway through a season. So like the animation will suffer, it kind of, you know, but like a actor will never stop looking from one moment to the next, you know, how they look, you know? So, although you could,
I agree.
So maybe you run into budget issues with effects, but for most part, you know, what you'll get at the beginning of the movie will be the same as the end, which is much different from like an actual anime.
So nice. Blessing, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I just spilled like cold water all over myself and I have like an extension cable and like a mixer and a bunch of like electronics like all around me right now. And so
that's
I'm trying not to die.
That's how Freakazoid got his powers. So, I'm rooting for you.
Dude, as far as like anime, becoming live action, I don't know. That's my answer is I don't like artistically, I would say yes. Like I feel like artists should try their best to attempt what they're passionate about, and if somebody's passion like is anime, or they have like a clear vision of what anime would look like in live action, I'd say go for it. The thing is, like, it strikes me a lot like the video game industry strikes me, of like when you try and make a video game movie, 99% of them are pretty bad. And so when it comes to making a good video game movie, usually if somebody tells me like, oh, there's a Warcraft movie coming out, or oh, there's an Assassin's Creed movie coming out, or oh, there's a whatever movie coming out, I'm usually like, oh, that's gonna be bad, that's gonna be trash. And usually it's trash. But I don't know if given the right circumstances, like the right director, the right video game, the right vision, I'd be all for it. And so it's a thing of like, I think people should tackle anime as live action, but it needs to be, I don't like the money aspect of it, because usually like when it happens, it's usually a thing of like, oh, this thing is popular, like this anime show is popular and we think we can profit off of it, and so we're gonna make it into a movie. And usually under those circumstances, it usually ends up in a bad movie, because a lot of times it's not driven by passion, it's driven by profit. And I think when that happens, usually like the thing that's being tackled is a thing that hasn't been implemented successfully before. And so like there hasn't been like a great amount of anime films, anime live action films that have like been successful, at least like not even commercially, but like critically, or like something that's been widely accepted by a large amount of people that I can think of, at least. And so like if somebody, or if like a studio or company pursues that thing and it's not passion driven and it's not like there's not like the vision there, then I don't think it's going to be successful. But if there is like a thing of like Edgar Wright, who I'm a big fan of, and I'm probably gonna mention him quite a few times in this podcast, but like Edgar Wright, like he did Scott Pilgrim, which is like my favorite movie of all time. He did the what's it called, Hot Fuzz. Shaun of the Dead, and the World's End, which I still haven't seen actually.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I really want to see. It's like on my computer. I just haven't watched it yet.
I'm not gonna overhype it. I'm actually gonna bring down the expectation. It's good. It's
good.
It's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard from good to like great.
And so, I personally had mixed feelings towards the beginning, but by the end of it, I was starting to have a lot of fun with it.
Nice. Yeah. Like, I think Edgar Wright is a dude that has like a great vision for his movies. Like he has a good idea of what he wants to do and how he wants to execute it, and he has like the style that I feel like fits that would fit like an anime adaptation. And so like if somebody gave it to him and was like, hey, this is in your hands, we want you to do like an anime style film, I think it might work out well, because he's like a dude with that kind of vision. Or even like somebody like Christopher Nolan, who like he took the Batman movies and made them into something great, right? If somebody came to him and was like, hey, we have Death Note maybe, or like this dark this franchise with like a dark kind of like nature to it.
Christopher Nolan directing a Death Note full length film would be amazing.
After Dark Knight and after Inception, that dude, if he took Death Note and gave it like the same kind of dark nature to it, but somewhat like mysterious and weird, and like and Christopher Nolan could rock it. I think he could rock anime style stuff. And so that's pretty much my answer, is just like put it in the right hands and give it like the right direction, then
I mean,
can go
when you're describing Edgar Wright, you're saying like he's someone he knows what he wants. And I think that's probably part of the missing ingredient for a lot of these, is that you have these people in offices or sitting around a table and they don't understand the properties, and so they just kind of start guessing at like, you know, what is it about this? They don't understand what the appeal is, or they try to fake, you know, understanding the appeal. And so then they end up getting either the characters wrong or the themes wrong.
Yeah. And I feel like that's exactly what I was going to get at, is that, and I feel like this actually happens with a lot of people, is that they don't understand the, they don't understand the meaning of anime essentially, or like the concept essentially. So like the concept for me at least is like ridiculous concept, but then it feeds into a strong like narrative theme, right? It's like Pokemon, right? The ridiculous premise is that there's this giant world where you can cockfight small electric mice versus giant firebirds or whatever. But the real theme of that show is friendship and hope, right? That's mm-hmm. the underlying theme. Gundam is giant mecha robots fighting in space, which is super cool, a super cool concept. But in reality, the base of what that show is based around is war mm-hmm. and like the problems with war and how a society reacts to war and independence, essentially. Like, you can pretty much do that with almost any anime. Like, maybe not a fan service anime, but almost every anime has that, like, underlying theme that is more important even than the concept that draws you in. You know, like, mm-hmm. Death Note, we just talked about. Like, Death Note is this weird supernatural thriller about, and it's also, like, a mystery of, like, whodunit and, like, how characters get to this final conclusion. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it's mainly about, like, decision-making and like what could bring someone from being this, what's the word? I guess it's like normal person, like quote unquote normal person, to being able to make these decisions. And what would you do in mm-hmm. that scenario?
It's like a social experiment.
Kind of. I mean, in a lot of ways. But mm-hmm. like anime essentially is amazing, beautiful visuals. But most anime just wants you to think and wants you to feel like mm-hmm. like any other movie. But I feel like most people who try and tackle these properties are like, oh, well, just make it look like the anime as close as you can. You know, make sure the characters look similar. Make sure they have the same haircut. Like, you know, you're good. And yeah. then and mm-hmm. then they won't care. But in reality, like most anime, the most important thing is the concept and like making sure that you understand the concept, the deeper concept of what the medium is trying to express. And I feel like a lot of times, like that's what I'm hearing actually with Ghost in the Shell, is that like, oh, it's visually so great, but they kind of missed the mark on like what makes Ghost in the Shell important.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what seems to be the theme of,
I think,
like,
that's a good point.
Almost all of it.
Like, the thing about anime is that like all anime from by their nature are stylish, because like anime has like such like a good style. Like they're drawn a specific way. When you think of anime, the first thing that comes to your mind is the visual style of anime. Like, or like you might think of like Dragon Ball Z, or you might think of like Yu-Gi-Oh or something, but like the thing that kind of like, well, one of the things that ties together like all of not or most of not all anime is like their visual style. Like different types of animes have like different visual styles and stuff, mm-hmm. but like I think when most Americans and maybe most people, like when they think of anime, they think of that visual style. But like the thing that makes me love Yu Hakusho, for example, are mm-hmm. the characters, right? Like Yusuke is like super cool, super like relatable. Like he's like a bad dude with like good qualities in him. Mm-hmm. Sensui, who's like my favorite or at least one of my favorite villains in that show, right? Like he's a character with like so much depth, partly because like he has like multiple, just I guess spoilers, but like multiple personalities in him. And so like I don't know, stuff like that, in the way like animes tackle story, right? Like you said, it's very like, it can be very nonsensical stuff, but that doesn't stop it from being deep. Like animes are as deep, if not more deep, than most stories told via cartoon or TV or movie. I think like animes, they're saying a lot and they're being very deep, but at the same time they're very like off the chain. They're like very everywhere. And so like I don't know, it's a mixture of things when it comes to how to create a good anime, especially like in on film. And so I don't know, it's a difficult thing.
So I think an advantage that anime has is that because it's a episodic story, it has the time to go back and forth and sometimes go into different characters and become silly, become deep. It has the time, whereas a movie you have maybe 2 hours. And so mm-hmm. that's another place where people where adaptations stumble, is trying to squeeze it all into like 1-2 hour block, something that should have taken several like a season, like a Netflix season's worth. Which is like, that's how I got sold on the Death Note thing, was I heard that was gonna be a series and I was like, cool, that could be done in 8 episodes if you've done it really well, if you do it really well. But now mm-hmm. it's just in a movie, so I mean, I don't think it can be done. It's just you end up sacrificing a bunch of like those story moments that could get us to better understand our characters.
Yeah I mean, so, I mean, Death Note has its own problems too with the whole whitewashing scenario, but that's a mm-hmm. whole other issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Christian, you are our guest on this episode. I want to kind of bring it back a little bit.
Hi,
so for the audience who are listening to this and may not know you, who are you? What's your thing? What do you do? Why are you here? Let us know.
Well, I am Christian Puente. My handle most places is PixelBrave. And most people in the communities that we hang out in, such as the Kinda Funny community, would know me as a community videographer. I go to gaming events like PAX, Kinda Funny Live, RTX, and I do video highlights, like recap videos of community hangouts and maybe anything that the hosts are at. If Greg is, you know, doing some kind of presentation, then like I'll include that. So people have been watching my videos, and so that's kind of how most people have come to know.
Nice. And I think like the cool thing about your videos is that your videos are like super high quality. Like I watch your videos and I'm like, man, like who brought like straight up like some kind of like AAA film developer
That's the funny thing is that I'm using an old camera. Like I cannot wait. I call my camera like a piece of junk. Like it's 6 years old and there's so many good cameras out and people have like so many people's cameras that they bring to these events like are better than mine. But I think it's just that they're bringing their cameras like on happenstance, kind of like I'm gonna bring this and see what I have, what I can do with it. Whereas me, like I kind of am like on a mission. I'm like, I'm bringing this specifically. I want to shoot the people. Okay, I want to capture the shoot isn't a good word. I want to capture the people. I want to capture these moments. And
dude, it's like it's the shoulder cam.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the shoulder mount, I should say.
Yeah, I guess that helps out too. I brought a shoulder rig, and that helps me out. But I'll send you a link to like one of the most recent videos I did. I gave up my shoulder rig so we could attach it to something else we were using on set, and so I did all my behind the scenes like just freehand, and it's just like I just and you probably couldn't tell that I didn't use a shoulder rig because I'm just being so careful because I'm just taking an extra moment to, you know, capture these moments are happening around me.
Your stuff looks super smooth, and you also have a good music selection, which I think we'll talk about in a second.
Okay.
But yeah, like I met you at Kinda Funny Live too. And you did this thing where, like, kind of Funny Live 2 took place across multiple days. Like, the event itself was 2 days, but, like, leading up to the event, people were there for, like, the Thursday and Friday before it. And so every day you would post a new video that would already have been edited together and, like, put together and all this stuff. And for me to make a video, it takes, like, 2 weeks. Like, it takes, like, some time for me to, like, and, of course, like, I'm making my video essays, and so I'm writing, capturing footage on my PS4, then I'm editing and doing all this stuff. But you, like, you're like you're putting together like serious like productions in like a night, it seems like.
Yeah,
like
that,
you're like killing it with this stuff.
That I mean, it really killed me. I would be recording all day and night, and then when everybody else went to bed, I'd still be editing there in the room. The part of what helped me get through that was that I was sharing a room with Trevor, and he would be doing these write-ups really late into the night, kind of recapping in written form. And so kind of having like a quote-unquote like brother-in-arms there, like he is staying up really late to work on his blog. And so it's like seeing him inspired me to be like, I can stick it out another hour to keep making sure that this edit is where I need it to be. And so I would be up till like 3 or 4, maybe even later, and just...
Oh, wow.
Hot damn, dude.
It's like, all right, time for the next day, and I'd only have like a few hours or like... be going to sleep as people are waking up, and so my quick 2 to 3 hours of sleep is when everybody else is like kind of getting dressed and taking a shower and stuff. And
nice.
So yeah, that killed me.
what's your YouTube channel real quick if people want to check out your stuff?
People can check it out. It's youtube.com/ I don't know if it's /PixelBrave or just youtube.com/PixelBrave, but PixelBrave,
I can type it up real quick,
is the name. I forget how YouTube does their thing, because sometimes it is the one way or another.
So, your music selection is also, like, some of my favorite. Like, your music it fits the scene perfectly. And also, yeah, youtube.com/PixelBrave works.
Okay, cool.
If you type it in. But, yeah, like, your music, I feel like, is so, like... I don't know, it's just well-chosen. Maybe just because, like, I like that kind of music that you're choosing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, where do you get your musical selection from, or like, what makes you choose your music at the same time? Like, what is it about you and music, and why do you do it so well? I should say.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of an accident. I don't have a music background at all, other than, you know, just whatever's on the radio. But music actually is the hardest part about those videos. It takes me the longest. Like editing, I put all my footage on there and I kind of get a feel for it without music, like what the flow of the video is going to be. And then I'm like, when I have like a rough cut, then I go looking for music, and that just takes the longest time because I can only use copyright, like royalty free music. And so that's really selective. It's hard to find that people. So SoundCloud is the site that I use to look up music. I'll just look up things like ambient, chill ambient, indie electronic, stuff like that. That's kind of like the vibe that I like. And there's lots of great selection, but not everybody's willing to put up that for free download or available to download. And so that's what takes the longest. Like I'll find like so many songs that I like, but they're just not available. And because it's like 3 a.m. and I want to get out the next morning, I can't exactly be taking the time to email them, wait for a response, see if they're willing to add the download button or something like that. So that is the part that I'm going to try to prepare better this time by like backlogging like maybe 20 tracks by the time I get to the next event with just possible songs.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It sounds like I'm ending the podcast, but like,
so happy to be here.
Oh yeah. Once again, you can find Pixel Brave on Twitter at Pixel Brave. Is that right? Cool. Nice. As far as other announcements we have on the show, the Zelda review is up for Breath of the Wild. And so check that out on the OK Beast YouTube channel. It's our first video review. And so, like, I don't know, check it out because it's a monumental event. It's an occasion. And so go ahead and check that out on the YouTube channel. We have a new OK Play that is up. It's weird because as of the time we're recording, this is actually not up, and I don't know which one I'm going to upload, so I can't really tell you which game it's going to be, but there's going to be a video up by the time you hear this, and so check that one out. We're still learning when it comes to Let's Plays, and so like it may not be on the level of like a PewDiePie or like I was going to say JonTron, but JonTron is like a bad word now. or like the level of...
It might not be like your other favorite possibly racist YouTuber, JonTron, PewDiePie... Yeah. Remember those Let's Plays that Donald Trump did that one time? Yeah, it's definitely not like those.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's not... We're trying to work our way up towards, like, racism.
High-level so, like, racism, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how famous I want us to be. I want us to be so famous that if one of us says some racist-ass shit, it's completely okay.
Yeah, dude, I want to be that famous, too. I want to be so famous that I can make fun of, like, transgender people and people just have to accept it. That's a Dave Chappelle reference. I love transgender people. So yeah. Just for the people listening, because I'm not that famous.
You couldn't even let it slide for a fraction of a second. You couldn't even let it go.
And so I don't want that like to be out there without like clarification that I love my transgender homies and homelets out there. And so check that out. Check out that Let's Play. Leave feedback. Also, I could use feedback if there's anything I could do to, you know, lift the quality. I'm guessing I'm going to upload Jazz Punk. And the thing about my Jazz Punk Let's Play is that my mic was... Not only was my mic delayed, but my mic volume was a bit low. And so forgive that, if you will. Also, Breath of the Wild is a show that we do. It is our Breath of the Wild show. It's a podcast. And so check that out on iTunes or the OK Beast website. And also be prepared to hashtag switch feeds soon. And so we'll get into what we've been up to this week. Ian, let's start with you. What have you been up to this week?
So I've been playing a lot of Zelda, and we've talked ad nauseum about Zelda, so I won't get into it. But that fish boy, he's a handsome boy. Dude,
that fish boy.
Oh.
He's a handsome boy.
I've been going
boy.
Back to Zora all the time now.
See, I haven't even played, and I've heard nothing about this fish, but and yet I've still learned so much about this fish boy from other podcasts.
He's a handsome boy. He's a good boy.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
He is.
That's all I'll say. All I'll say is he's a good boy.
I go back to Zora because like I have a side quest there. Well, it's not even a side quest anymore, but like there's a guy that collects like a certain kind of stones, and so I come back every now and then to like bring them to him so he'll give me like a diamond or whatever.
Yo, every time he counts it like one. Two.
Oh, dude, it's amazing. It's hilarious.
And I'm like, it makes me so mad because you know when they were developing that, they were like, all right, well, they're going to come back and just get these diamonds every single time. Anyway, yeah, so I'm playing Zelda. Yeah. That's still a trip. I love it so much. I'm getting so many hours of enjoyment out of it. If you haven't gotten it, go out and get it. One of my favorite games in the past, like, 5 years, probably, I think, if I had to make a statement about it right now. What else is going on? My girlfriend is currently overseas, so I'm trying to live the lonely life. So I've been taking up a bunch of projects. What is what?
What is overseas for that? Like Australia, US?
Oh,
like,
okay.
Because you're in Japan.
She's in Europe right now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, hey, she's in Malta, if you know anything about Europe geography. So Malta is off the coast of Italy. Yeah. So So Malta is off the coast of Italy. It's like the southernmost. Nope. Not okay. The blessing doesn't know any languages meme is becoming very strong. But yeah, so it's off the coast of Italy.
Spanish?
Yes, it's English, you idiot. Jesus. She's there now. Oh wait, go.
Okay, I was gonna say quick thing. So I'm at work, right? And I have a coworker who's Hispanic. He's actually Canadian, but he's like he's.
You can, I want you to know that you can be both from Canada and also Hispanic.
No, it's just a fun fact about him, because we're in like the USA, and so usually we don't have Canadians here is my thing. We have like way more like people from South America or Mexico than we do Canadian or from Canada, and so like, and I guess I live in Seattle, so we're closer to Canada, but yeah, no. So I do this thing, right, where I don't say thank you to people. I say gracias. And every time I say it to him, I feel bad.
You butcher it so bad.
Wait, you sound
like a white guy doing a Spanish guy doing a white guy. Like, that's how bad that pronunciation of
gracias. I mean, that's pretty much me in real life, is I'm a black guy being a white guy being a black guy. And so, but no. Yeah, continue.
Hey, blessing.
Your various layers.
I'm being very racial this episode, and not like the way I usually am, where I'm like smart about it.
You know what, blessing? Language is an art. That's why they call it language arts. And it's cool to have fun with it.
is an art. That's why they call it language arts.
So bless you, and like when somebody sneezes in Spanish, it's salud. You know, it means it's the Spanish word for health.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And salud, I like to take a little liberties myself, and I'll say, salad.
Oh, salad, see? Of course.
Yeah. There you go.
God damn it, you corny-ass motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, so my girlfriend is in Malta, an island off the coast of Italy. She's studying right now to take this exam that will help her get into grad school, or not grad school, to apply for her doctorate. So good luck to her. Other than that, nothing. Oh no, yeah, I started to do some video projects. I might post some video blog stuff or videos about Japan. We're still in talks about that. I've been speaking of Christian. I've been asking him a bunch of questions, like, what do I do here? What do I do with this? Like, what file type is this? You know, I've been bugging him the past couple of weeks. So I'm glad that we could return the favor and we could bug him live on air, as opposed to just via Twitter message.
It's all good. I love production questions. Anyone that's listening to this that has any questions at all, like, just...
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite things about you, Christian, to bring it back to you, is that a couple months ago when I met Blessing, we met...
A couple months ago?
Has it been a year now? It's been a year plus?
Almost.
Damn, fam. It's been a long-ass time.
Maybe just about a year, I think.
Yeah. Well, I met Blessing via Twitter, and again, I'm very new to meeting people in the digital space, I guess. So like when I saw your stuff, I was like, oh shit, this guy's really cool. You know, I'm going to hit him up. I want to ask him some questions. And then I did the same. Not you, Blessing.
you
corny ass motherfucker.
Dang. I was really excited for a second.
Like, Blessing, cool. I've already told you that you're a cool guy. Get out of here. Shut up. I hate you. I just hit up Christian in the DMs, and I was like, hey man, like, you know, what's up? I like your stuff. And like, we just started talking from there. And you know, you two guys, especially Blessing and Christian, have been like super accommodating to someone who's like new to this sort of thing. So shout out to you guys.
I mean, fun fact, I think I don't know how new Christian is. I'm super, I think I'm probably as new as you are, Ian. Like my first, I've been part of like forums and stuff, but I've never like actually like grown any like personal relationships off of the internet. Like you and Alex are probably like the first ones, and so I think me and you are relatively like around like the same as far as our exposure to internet and meeting people. And I think it really came together for me at Kinda Funny Live. And so like I think once you know people on the internet, then you go to like an event where like a bunch of that community is, then it kind of switches dynamics of like, oh, now I'm part of like a greater thing. which is interesting.
The IGN house party for Beyond 400 was where I got my first step into meeting people online and following up and keeping in touch with them, like in communities and stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah. It was awesome. Crazy. Speaking of that, like that feeling, I went to California over the summer, and there are some kind of funny people out there, and you know, shout out to Mayumi and Albert. I was like, hey, like, I'm in California, do you want to like hang out? And they were like, hell yeah. And like, we just hung out, and it was just a good time. We went and got food, Mayumi and I got some coffee, we hung out, we walked around, and I was like, huh, I know this person only from the internet. She could have easily drugged me and taken all of my organs, but she she decided not to, and it was like really nice, and it was great. And
man,
it's strange.
I'm super jealous.
I love those dudes too. Those are like, they were also like some of the first people who like I actually like started like speaking to and stuff, because like I think I played Overwatch with them, and then like I saw them at Kind of Funny Live, and I was, and Mayumi saw me, she was like, oh hey, give me a hug, and I was like, oh, this is weird. I know you from the internet, but you feel like very comfortable with me, which I don't know, struck me as weird, but at the same time I was like, this is cool.
Christian, when I meet Blessing in real life, can you help me take all of his organs?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. I'd be like, well, it was building up to this. I should have known. Look at him.
I'm super jealous, Ian. You got to hang out with them. I saw them quite a bit at PSX, and we were supposed to... We had set up this whole... On my last day, we're going to go to, like, Japantown and explore together and everything, but then, like, something came up at the last minute, so they couldn't go out with me after all. So
that's lame.
I gotta make that up sometime the next time I'm out there. Blessing.
Are you coming to the next Kind of Funny event though?
I so far I'm scheduled to go there. Yeah.
Let's fucking go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matt, so Ian, you wanna hear my first impression of Blessing when he met me? When I met him?
Did you think that it, think that he was a talking baby like Alex did?
No. So I hadn't been aware of Blessing or anything. Before,
ooh, shit, he wasn't life. Aware of you.
I wasn't aware of him. I wasn't aware of a lot of people. I met a lot of people for the first time at Kind of Funny Life. And I mean, we're in line for like all day to get into the event. And I'm just shooting the crowd. I'm taking footage of like everybody waiting.
He's shooting the crowd with a gun.
I keep using that phrase. I'm capturing video of everybody in line waiting and stuff. And this kid comes up and he's like, yo, get me. I'm about to start dancing. Can you shoot some of that stuff and send it to me? And I'm like, man, I don't like being told what to do, but I'm like, you know what? Yes, I'm going to put the video, I'm going to put the camera on you. You better deliver. And like, it was pretty badass. So,
oh, dude, that's awesome. So like, it was funny because like, I saw you and I knew you were like doing like the montages and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm going to hook him up and I'm going to hook myself up, because Kind of Funny Life 2 was like the event of being like trying to like hustle around to like get people mm-hmm. to know who I was a little bit, because I was like, I don't know, I kind of felt like I was like, man, I need to get like Alex O'Neill and get people to know who I am or mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And so like I had like a bunch of like awkward interactions with at Kind of Funny Live where like I saw Alex O'Neill and I went up to him and I was like, hey, I've seen you, you're that Alex O'Neill dude, right? He's like sitting on the floor waiting in line. He's like, yeah, that's me. And I'm like, oh, dude, like, you did, like, lunch with Greg Miller and stuff. Like, I've seen you around. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, man, thanks. And I'm like, so you should follow me on Twitter. Like, I kind of, like,
Jesus Christ, Blessing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Here's the thing. I'm good when it comes to social interaction with people I know. When it comes to people I don't know, I'm very bad at social interaction. And so I'm just like, I'm like, okay, either I'm not going to talk to this person at all, or I'm going to, like, force my way into their lives.
Yeah.
And so like with Christian, it was a thing of like, I'm gonna just force my way into his life and make him shoot me.
I'm just like, I don't know dancing. Who this is, and he's like, I don't know, I like being unseen when I'm shooting, when I'm, you know, taking video. I like being like fly on the wall and just make my way, and then he's like, no, bring it over here, and I'm like, ah. But he quickly quickly won over my heart with those sweet moves. So
oh yeah, I figured it'd be a good thing to include in the montage, and so I was like, ah.
Yeah, no, it was cool. Nice. Funny, like, I just want to give my quick Alex story. I'd been listening to Alex for a while, and I saw him that weekend at the IGN tour, and it's at the very end of the tour where they're giving the Q&A, and he's just sitting back, and he's listening to the Q&A, and I just, like, I was like, I just got to, I don't know what I was thinking, but I go up to him, and I'm like, hey, Alex, I'm going to say it out loud instead of whisper, because I don't know if it'll come across. But like, I'm whispering this all the time. I'm just like, hey, Alex, I listen to your stuff. It's me, Christian, or maybe Pixel Brave. I don't know how you know me. And he's kind of like, he's trying to be nice, but he's also like, I'm kind of trying to pay attention to this tour that we're on. We're at, you know, IGN, you know? And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, I'll talk to you later. I was like, so I totally thought I fucked it up. But no, Alex is such a good guy, such a sweetheart. So I got to kind of redo it later.
Yeah. My thing,
you want to know how,
like,
I met Alex Van Aken, or not Alex Van Aken, the other Alex? I made an opinion about Risa on the internet, and then he shit on me for 45 years. I'm still feeling that opinion through the time sphere. I'm slowly feeling it over time.
It's okay. It's all about Yukiko anyway. But like,
Yukiko is garbage.
Oh, you're garbage. What? So. Like, I had another kind of moment when it came to like meeting people, since I guess this is the topic now.
No,
like,
I don't mean to derail it.
No, it's all good, because I just remembered this. So like, I had the opposite moment at PAX, where like Tim Geddes was there and like had the opportunity. Like there weren't many people at this panel that were like kind of like talking to Tim and stuff, because it was like a Rooster Teeth panel, and so like I was like chilling and I like got like a picture with Tim and stuff, and like. I don't know. I had like all the opportunity to like have like a good conversation with Tim, but I was like, man, I don't want to mess this up. Maybe I should just like be cool. And I was like, I played it like too cool, and like too cool to the point where like I seemed like I didn't want to like have a conversation with him or like even talk to him. And so like I think that's partly the reason. Like, for me, it's either 5% or like 100% of me like engaging with somebody, because the next day I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it this time. Like, this time I'm gonna like go 100, and it worked. And like I was like, oh dude, Tim, I saw you tweeted about Charles Hamilton, this rapper, and he's like, oh, I love it. And he also escalates his energy, which I think is great, which I think more people should do when they're meeting people they don't know, and they're excited. But like he escalated his energy, and he was like, oh dude, that's awesome. And I was like, oh yeah, that is awesome. We had a moment like that. So I love meeting random people on the internet that I already like know who they are, and they might not even know who I am, but like, it's always like a fun thing.
Where's the next place people can meet you at? What's
kind
on?
Give them your GPS coordinates.
I'm about to go
right
watch
now.
Power Rangers. No. Yeah, no, I'm going to be at Kind of Funny Life 3 if anybody's going to be there. They're in PAX West are the only ones I have in mind now. I wasn't at Emerald City Comic Con, and so I missed that, but yeah, those two places.
Okay, cool.
Both of your boys are going to be there, actually.
Oh, yeah. Ian.
The OK Beast duo is going to come together, like in that, you know, that time where Arnold Schwarzenegger did that handshake.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Schwarzenegger. What was the other guy? The other big muscly dude? And it was like this, like the really strong handshake. Who was it?
Sylvester.
Was it Donald?
No,
was it Donald
no.
Glover?
No, Donald Glover. No, that's
Donald Glover.
I mean, he plays Apollo. He plays Apollo in the Rocky series.
Oh, Mike Tyson?
No,
Mike Tyson. That's an actual boxer.
He plays Apollo.
What's his name? Mr. T?
No.
Let's just give it up. We're never gonna get it right. So now it's Mr. T. So Blessing is now Mr. T, and I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. What? No.
Fine. I'm Mr. T.
Okay.
All right. I'm cool.
That works. Yeah.
All right.
I could be Arnold Schwarzenegger. A bad word.
Oh my God.
I don't like his name at all, because his name is literally calling me the N word. I'm like, Arnold, you know, change your last name. I don't care how German or whatever you are.
Go to the next topic, here. You.
Okay, whatever. So as far as what I've been up to this week,
Carl Weathers.
What have I been up to this week?
Carl Weathers, there you go.
Carl Weathers. So I've been playing Zelda, and of course, we won't really get into that. I don't think I have anything worth saying. Like, I think I said last week that I beat Zelda. And yeah, I mean, that's about it. That game still continues to be awesome. I still continue to find interesting and fun new things. And so if you haven't played Zelda, maybe play Zelda, because Zelda is like so far the game of the year. I don't know if it's going to be dethroned by anything. If it has a chance of anything dethroning it, for me personally, either like Persona 5 or Mario at the end of the year are the only things that can do it. And so we'll see. So I've been doing that. I've been watching Iron Fist, and I'm on like episode 5 right now. So,
oh, man.
So you know how like there's been a lot of like mixed reviews on Iron Fist?
Yeah.
And I was expecting not to like Iron Fist. I actually kind of really like it. I understand where I haven't read the reviews. I've only seen like the scores and stuff, so I don't know what people were knocking it for. I can imagine that like the acting is one thing, because the acting is pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Also, there's this one character who's like, I guess, one of the antagonists. I don't really know if he's an antagonist, but like, he seems like obviously an antagonist. Like, he's one of the he's like one of the heads of this company that's in the show. Okay. And like, he just has like super, he has villain vibes about him, where like he hates the main character and stuff. Mm-hmm. But also like, just like his face, his mannerisms, like everything about him just is just like, why are you just so menacing of a person?
He just looks like a cartoon, like, villain.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's like one of those dudes where I'm like, why do you look just uncomfortable with life as a whole? You just seem very uncomfortable. It's making me uncomfortable. But yeah, like, aside, well, the acting sucks. The fight scenes are kind of like cheesy. Like, they're somewhat cool, but at the same time, they're like, this doesn't seem to line up at all with like real life. Like, he did, there was this one scene where like he did a flip over a car that was driving.
Oh,
him,
and that
I was
looked
like,
really
that
bad.
Was,
that looked
I was
really,
like,
really
dude,
bad.
That is some, that was straight out of Power Rangers. And like, I feel like quite a bit of the show is like straight out of Power Rangers, and so like, yeah, that's another knock. But like, aside from those things, and like, yeah, no, just aside from those things, so far at least I'm enjoying it. It's the main, yeah. I won't go. If I go further with it, they'll have some. I'll have some spoilers. But like, Christian, like, you've been watching it too, I imagine.
I marathoned it in like 2 days.
Nice.
So
what are
I
your
finished
thoughts on it.
It's an okay show. It's not my favorite at all as far as like the Netflix Marvel universe. Ian, like, before I go too much further, Ian, have you watched any of it at all? Just so I know how much to spoil or not spoil.
You can spoil it. It doesn't really matter to me. I love Iron Fist as a concept, but the more I'm hearing about it, the more I'm just disinterested. So I'm just gonna wait until the Defenders to catch it all.
Maybe
if I wanted to see
too.
If I wanted to see a white guy in an Asian country, I would just do a vlog, which is what I'm doing.
So I mean, I enjoyed it enough. It didn't do so much. It's so easy to fall into like sounding like I didn't like it, because it did do a lot wrong, but at the same time, it's just a very competent. It's competent.
Yeah.
Every time it goes in the right direction, it starts taking a few steps back. So it just all canceled out to be a very kind of, safe execution, which is kind of a shame, because the Daredevil and Luke Cage took more risks, and so those stand out a bit more. They're more memorable, they're more entertaining. Like, I at least have feelings about those shows and those characters, whereas this, I don't think it took enough risks or anything. But my problem, yeah, I get what you're saying about the fighting. Like, how is Daredevil a better, like, fighter, or has better fight scenes in his shows when he's not even like trained in martial arts? Well, not to the same degree. I knew he has special training from his mentor, but like, Iron Fist is supposed to be like the epitome of, like, you know, the martial arts of all martial arts guy, and the fights just weren't very impressive. And the character, probably the biggest setback for me, is the main character, who's really obnoxious, and you know, everyone else in all the side characters are what kept me interested. It's half martial arts film and half like political corporate drama. And so that's actually the stuff that surprised and kept me most interested, was everything, like the center point of all this is, you know, this business that Danny Rand's father was a part of, and just all the inner politics and stuff with the business and who's running it kept me actually really interested, much more than any of the martial arts story.
Mm-hmm.
And just how, like, it's, I was a little underwhelmed by it, especially by the main character, who was not, he kept crossing personal boundaries that people would set. Like, someone says, "I don't want you here," he would stay there, or like, "Don't do this, don't approach," like, there's a teacher and she's like, "Don't go anywhere near my students." And he's like, yeah, I promise. I don't want to cause any trouble. And what does he do? He starts causing trouble with the students. Like, someone's trying to, like, he needs help. So he's like, "Let me crash here. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm in trouble and I just need a place to lay low." They're like, "Fine, but, you know, you better be out by tomorrow morning." And, like, not only are they still there and have no intention of leaving, he's like, I'm totally making myself at home. I'm playing loud music when you're trying to zen out and stuff. And it's like, for someone who grew up, like, among monks. He has zero consideration for other people's feelings. And I'm like, what kind of hero is that? Just because you're strong, like, you're not being
that's actually like heroic. I have a very similar like feeling about him, like, but from also from the side that like he grew up, or he crashed when he was like what, like 10 years old
yeah,
or something
like that, yeah.
And he grew up among monks, and he comes back and he's like, he doesn't seem like a dude that grew up among monks.
Exactly,
he seems like
yeah.
a, like he seems like he's been in America like his whole life, because like his mannerisms, the way he comes in, he's already kind of like acclimated to everything. I'm like, this doesn't kind of make sense for the story. Like he should be like more unfamiliar to things. Like he doesn't seem unfamiliar at all. Mm-hmm. Like he's talking, he still has like his full American accent. And I remember like, I moved to Nigeria at the age of 11.
Yeah.
And I lived there, till I was 13. By the time I was 13, I had a full Nigerian accent. Mm-hmm. And so like, I feel like if he's being adopted by monks at 10 years old and he's living there until like, he's like, however old he is now, like 30 or something like that. Like, I feel like he should at least like have somewhat of an accent, maybe like not yeah. like a full accent, but like at least like some kind of like, I don't know, inflection in his voice that says like, oh, he's like, he's been away. Mm-hmm. But it seems yeah. like he's just been in America this whole time. Like from his grammar, he talks like an American. He has the grammar, like he left when he was 10, but he has like the grammar like he was like, I don't know. And I guess grammar probably wouldn't be a his dialect is still like American. Like, I don't know, that kind of bothered me and kind of still bothers me. I don't know if they'll explain it. I'm still on episode five, and so maybe like they'll be like, oh, he's actually been in America for like 5 years or something like that. I don't know, but
not really.
But I feel like if they did any accent or if they did anything like that, then they would be, the race card would come up again, and they would be,
that's a good point,
like treading yeah. more difficult waters than they would like. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, because if you do have like a white dude over here doing like an Asian accent, then it does turn into like a whole thing of like, huh,
yeah.
that didn't sound like where I'm from in Asia. And so
you
like,
know, what'd be even more fucked is that if the actor had to learn Mandarin and wouldn't speak any English the entire movie,
that would be amazing.
That
would be hilarious.
He uses some Mandarin in there.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean it. Yeah, so he's probably like the weak link on that show, but I really like all the side characters. They're pretty interesting and more mature and better storylines going on. So
yeah.
So I'd love to catch up after you're done with the show, hear more of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, for sure. So I did that, and also I watched the new Kendrick Lamar music video called Humble. And man,
I haven't watched it, but I saw it was like blowing up on the internet that it was everywhere. Yeah.
Dude, so you're like a film guy, so I think you would enjoy watching the music video.
I watch motion pictures.
Like the song itself, I think is great. I think Ian and I have different views on it, right?
I don't dislike it. I actually like it a lot. It's just my feeling with this song and other songs that Kendrick makes. I don't like this song as much, essentially, mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I'm like, I'm of the mind that like, To Pimp a Butterfly, which is his previous album, and like his project after that, Untitled and Mastered, whatever, like it, both of those had like a certain style to them that like I wholly respected, and I actually really liked To Pimp a Butterfly and his Unmastered project, but like they weren't the Kendrick Lamar that I like came to love. Like they were like Good Kid, Mad City. Actually, I my first Kendrick project was Section 80. And then, like, immediately after I discovered Kendrick, he released, like, Good Kid, Mad City. And that was, like, the Kendrick I was familiar with, right? And then he made To Pimp a Butterfly, which I was like, this is really different than what I'm used to. And it's not really what I love about you. But also, at the same time, like, this stuff is genius. Like, you killed it. You did a great job with this. And so I appreciate it. And then this song feels like he's reverting back in a way, but not, like, in a way that he's, like, kind of, like, dumping all the stuff he just did. Like, the delivery he uses in the song is more like that light. He has like a lighter kind of tone to him that sounds kind of like what he was trying out in To Pimp a Butterfly. But at the same time, like the beat sounds like a early 2000s beat, and it has like a bounce to it, and it has like that that deeper piano, and it's the type of song that I was kind of looking forward to after Good Kid, Mad City. And yeah, like I really like it. Like for me, I feel like it's his best lead single. Like not his best song at all, but like as far as like his lead singles, like being like his first single off of To Pimp a Butterfly was I, which I didn't really like that much. His one from Kid Kid City was Swimming Pools, which I liked, but I wasn't like blown away. It's not nearly my favorite song off the album. I can't remember what the one from Section 80 was, but like as far as the lead singles I've heard from him, it's like my favorite out of those. And so I'm really hyped to see his album. It comes out like a week from now, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Uh-oh. And also, I didn't mention this, but like Logic also has a new single out that's pretty good. And so, yeah. Christian, were you about to say something?
Oh, just I'll have to check it out. I'm not very hip with, you know, present day music, modern music. Mm. I'm always like several years behind on the trends. So I've heard the name, but I don't think I could name a single Kendrick Lamar song. So I'll have to.
Oh, that's fair.
Out of curiosity, I'm scrubbing through the video right now, actually, just out of curiosity. Yeah. Looks very interesting.
I think the video is probably the best part of the release. Like the video, has like a lot of like symbolism going on that I didn't really. I mean, I didn't really look into it, or like I haven't like tried to study it at all to try and like figure out like what like these like certain scenes mean. Mm-hmm. But it has like a lot of like really cool shots at the same time and cool transitions in there.
Looks interesting.
I think it's his best video, maybe. I can't remember his other videos, but this video I've seen quite a few times. The All Right video is actually pretty all right, but You caught what I did there? Christian, what have you been up to?
Working and watching movies. The first thing I put on like my what's up is most recent thing I saw was Power Rangers, so I've been trying to catch up on this year's movies. I've been really bad job of it. It's just been tough making time. But so a few things. So yeah, I watched Power Rangers, I watched Beauty and the Beast, just trying to catch up, and I'm gonna watch Ghost in the Shell soon. I just want to watch the anime movie first, but
nice.
I'll be catching that soon. Which I've never watched
the anime movie first, I think.
Yeah, I've always avoided it because even as a kid, I didn't really like fan service, and like all the box arts for that are like a half naked lady. So I'm like, I'm not gonna watch this.
I got you.
Now that I'm older and I'm like, oh well, I guess it's not about that. It's more about like political drama and intrigue and stuff like that. It's like, so I guess I can check this out. But so I'll be giving it a shot. I don't know. A lot of like the gritty like early 90s, late 80s anime, like Akira, Ghost in the Shell, like those, like, I know they're like hailed as classics and like must-sees, but that vibe isn't really like what kind of anime I usually like to watch. So I feel like I might not like it going in, but I'm going to try to have an open opinion going into it. I do more like romantic comedies and slice of life stuff. So I know this is really not in that kind of wheelhouse, but we'll still see. I'll try to have an open mind about it.
Nice.
I was gonna say, just another thing I've kind of been working on is like trying to get, now that like I'm in this new space, I want to get back to doing videos. So I've been just planning out more videos and stuff. So I actually did my first one this week, which was like a conversation with my friend Luis Alamilla. We talked about the anime movie Your Name. It's getting re-released here in the US in like a week, so he and I are big fans of it, and so we just talked about what we liked about the movie and why people should check it out. So that video is out now on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you talk about movies on your YouTube channel, correct?
I talk about, so I came up with like a little show, and I had to put it on hiatus because of the move. So I moved a bunch of my equipment and put it in the storage. It's called After the Credits, and the point of it is I want to talk about stories, whether they be from video games, anime, or movies, television, and talk about why they stick with me. So like a lot of them are going to be not like Your Name is a movie from just last year, but most of the things I want to talk about are going to be from like early childhood or growing up. So far one of my videos is on the first horror film I ever watched, you know. I'm not a big fan of horror films, so I talk about the first one that I actually found myself enjoying, and what is it about that story that actually resonated with me to get me past my dislike of horror films. And so, like, I saw that movie probably when I was 10 or something, so that's kind of, like, the format.
Did you guys ever have the like, Nickelodeon channel at night that you would watch?
Nick at Night?
Not Nick at Night. Like, I'm saying there was, like, maybe, this is, like, back when, like, Goosebumps was around.
Are You Afraid of the Dark? kind of stuff like that.
Yeah, like that style. Mm-hmm. So speaking of my first horror movie, I saw there was like a movie that was in the same style as Are You Afraid of the Dark about like some conjoined twin that was buried alive.
What? That
was on Nickelodeon. Dude, I watched that shit when I was like, I think 10 or like around that age, scarred for life. I indefinitely know exactly what happens in the movie, like where the characters go.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, it was so scary. Oh my God. But I love horror movies, so I can't even, like that trauma transitioned me into loving that sort of feeling.
They seem so cold hearted and they're usually very dark. So that's not really my aesthetic. That's not really what I enjoy. So, but sometimes a horror film will have something to it that will speak to me. Well, for example, Scream, it's a horror film first, but it has like some comedy sprinkled in, some satire. So like that's an example of something that speaks to me. So sometimes a horror film will speak to me.
Okay, no, like, I found the name of the movie. It wasn't Are You Afraid of the Dark? It's called Cry Baby Lane, and it was from the year 2000. So I was 9 years old when this came out.
Huh.
But you like horror films now.
Yeah, I love them now.
Man, Japanese horror films are weird.
Oh,
dude.
My God. Oh, my God. It's, oh, my God. So I'm just reading the synopsis, and I was right. Andrew and his older brother Carl enjoy listening to ghost stories from the local undertaker. One night, Bennett tells the tale of a local farmer whose wife gave birth to conjoined twins, one being good-natured and one being clearly evil.
It's funny because when you describe it, I think of like Undertaker from the WWF. Like I feel like him just telling the stories of like, just to some messed up kids. No, that's amazing.
Man. Here, I'm gonna post. Here you go. I'm sending you a link to the whole movie.
Oh, man.
There you go.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
Cool. Well, I guess this is
your homework now.
We can't really watch it right now, but
hey, well,
not now.
Maybe I'll put it in the show notes or something.
Horror is pretty big out there in Japan, right?
Yeah, it's very big.
From what I understand, man. From what I understand, like they really like a lot of gore and blood in their horror too. So that's something I really like Japanese culture, but that is one thing that I will probably never mesh with very well is that how much they love horror and blood and gore. Like,
I haven't seen that many Japanese movies, but from what I understand, yeah, that style of movie is pretty popular right here.
So, speaking of film, our topic of the show is movies, of course, since we have on Christian, and Christian is knowledgeable about this stuff. I wanted to talk about specifically the biggest and best releases of this year so far. Now, the thing is, me and Ian, I don't think I've seen any of the releases this year so far.
What, none of them?
I don't think I've seen
it. I literally can't. The only movie I saw this year was Doctor Strange.
Oh.
Because it just came out in Japan. It just came out in Japan.
Well, what did you think?
I liked it a lot. It was good. I don't know. Good.
Cool.
So, Christian, how many of the movies that have released this year so far have you seen?
Like I said, I haven't done as nearly as good as I usually do, but I've seen 7 films this year.
Nice. What are they?
So, not in order of release, because I messed up a few, but Lego Batman, John Wick 2, Get Out, Logan, Kong Skull Island, Power Rangers, Beauty and the Beast.
Man, I have such a list that I need to like catch up on, because those are all movies where I like when they came out, I was like, oh, I'm going to see this in theater. I just saw none of them. And my coworker keeps telling me to see Logan in theater. She's like, don't wait for it to come out.
It's great. Yeah. It's a good movie. That's probably like up there. That's probably number one for this year so far. Yeah, I think that's my number one of the...
Nice.
We're at the last day of March, so yeah, for the first 3 months, that's my number one.
What makes it your number one?
What
makes it your number one?
Oh, I just think it's a really good story. I really like the chemistry between Logan and, spoilers, X-23. They just have a really good dynamic. It's very reminiscent of The Last of Us. I feel like they don't even need to make a Last of Us movie anymore. Like, this just slap the sticker on the box, just call it The Last of Us, because it's very similar.
Oh, dude. That's literally like the best thing you could say about it to make me want to watch it.
Because
I'm The Last of Us is like my favorite, one of my favorite PS3 games.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, from the poster, from like the total, the whole vibe of it kind of strikes me very much as Last of Us.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing people say like it's one of the best like superhero films or like comic book films like they've seen. And a lot of people are like comparing it to like Dark Knight and holding it up to like that kind of standard.
I don't know. I don't like overhyping things. All I'm gonna say is I really enjoyed it. I'd love to see it again. I'll buy it on Blu-ray for sure. And it just it's got some heart. I like it does a few. I mean, it's not without its fault. It does a few things that I'm like, oh, did we really have to do this? Like, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, so I won't. But it just it has a few moments where I'm like, oh, please don't tell me we're going in this direction, and then it goes in that direction. I'm like, it didn't kill the movie for me, but like, I feel like we've seen some of these things done enough that we don't need to see them anymore in this thing. But
fair enough.
But no, I really enjoyed it, and it was shot really well, and I enjoyed the story, and the action was serviceable. I'm very picky when it comes to wire work and stuff, and since these are mutants, there's of course going to be like bigger jumps and flips and stuff than usually physically possible, and so they have the assist of wire work, and it's not the best, but it's not so bad that it detracts from the movie. It's just with some action, I'd rather just see, it's more like less is more kind of a thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I really liked it.
So if Logan's your number one, what would you say follows that up? Like, what's the number two on that list of movies you've seen?
Man, Lego Batman. That's really funny.
Really?
Movies are about entertainment, escapism. Yes, they are also about like finding like common ground with characters and stories and empathizing and stuff, but sometimes it is just about being entertained. And that was such a funny movie for me. They're like great references that go over like kids' heads, but like that we get, not only like humor, I'm talking about just like references to like the lore. Like I don't want to call this a spoiler because it's something that you have to, you might miss, it happens just a split second, but like Robin is looking at all of Batman's clothes, and like he passes by one that's actually like, they're all labeled, you know, like mariachi Batman, this Batman, you know, underwater Batman. There's one that actually says Nightwing, and I'm like, oh, like I don't know if any kid would have noticed that and knows that, you know, Robin becomes Nightwing, you know, in the comics, you know. So cool stuff like that. But I just thought it was so funny, and it was a weird experience. I'm watching in a theater, and like they're both, you know, there's all ages in there, and I was the only one laughing at the whole movie. I was like, come on, like, you ever have that where like people just aren't on the same page as you? Like it didn't bother me too much, but it was just like, I wish I had a more invested audience. But I was laughing through the whole thing. I really enjoyed it. So
oh yeah, no, that was me during Inside Out. Like, I watched Inside Out, and I was like, oh dude, this is like so like touching and heartwarming. And towards the end, I like shed like a man tear, and I just look around, and like there's this like 5-year-old that's just like, what are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing? And I'm just like, man, I'm just doing me. Like, man, look at this film, it's crazy. So no, I feel you. I like films like that are built for both, like for adults and children to kind of both get something meaningful out of them, but also like they don't have to get the same thing out of them. And so like, I feel like for like a lot of like hardcore comic book fans, they probably got those like references, like the Nightwing outfit or like whatever else there may be, because I heard there's like a lot of like references to like crazy Batman villains and like and a bunch of stuff like that. And that's one of the reasons why I kind of want to watch it. I don't know, is it on DVD yet?
I don't think so. I think
I watched
it recently.
I want to watch it when it comes out, because it looks interesting.
It's just that you could tell that the writers and the performers all had fun with it. That's like one of my favorite things, is we can tell that they're just having a good time. And so like another weird just little quirk, like it's not a spoiler or anything, but like, you know, Bane is there, and instead of giving him like his own unique take, they go with the Dark Knight Rises one, so he talks like Tom Hardy's Bane, which is like, it's kind of like they're embracing it. Like, hey, you know how everybody made fun of Tom Hardy's voice? Like, we're going to use that voice. Like, we're going to.
Yes, brother.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
me and my friends used to just go ham on that and just make fun of the Bane, like the fire rises. We used to do that all the time.
The fire rises.
That's how
Gotham would be New Rome. Like, he, no, it's like, he's like, he talks, but he talks like this. Yeah. He talks kind of through a weird muffle.
He's a design.
You'll never understand me, Batman.
He's designed like the animated series version, and so I thought they'd be doing something like that, but they're like, nope, we're going to do the Dark Knight. We're going to do Tom Hardy version.
Yes, brother.
Probably,
I love Bane so much, sorry. Just for the voice.
No, it's all good.
Yes, brother.
Power Rangers, actually, maybe it's because it's fresh in my mind. I really like that, and I know anyone that hears me say that, it's like, wait, like, you're putting Power Rangers over Get Out, and it's like, yes and no. Get Out is a really good film, and it's got great dramatic tension, and it's a great piece of filmmaking, but I just couldn't relate to it. There wasn't anyone I felt personally invested in. I like to feel invested in characters, and so it's weird that I'm going out of order. Like, I'm talking about Get Out first to defend my choice of Power Rangers being my number three.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, like, so Get Out, yeah, like I said, like, I could sing its praises all day. Like, it does really great. It's a great thriller, like, great performances all around, music, choices, cinematography. But, like, I don't know when I'll sit down and watch it again, because not only because, you know, it's just like, I don't return to thrillers or dramas a lot. And also, like I said, like, what part of what keeps a movie in my mind, it gets to stick with me, is having a character that I'm on the same page with, or that I can relate to in somehow. And I mean, other than the main character being a photographer, like, that's like the thinnest line of how I can relate to anyone. Like, but yeah, my number three is Power Rangers, because I wanted to not like this movie. I wanted to walk out and like have all these rants, and just because I did. I'm not gonna defend what Power Rangers is. Like, it's a really bad, weird Japanese to American television show adaptation. Pardon me.
You just say Power Rangers is bad? Hello?
Yeah, it's pretty cringy. It's really campy. It's really cringy. But I grew up with it. I eventually did grow out of it, like many others did. So I'm not saying, like, as a kid, I enjoyed it. But I mean, as a kid, you enjoy a lot of things, and then you grow out of them. And so there's a bit of nostalgia there. And I mean, I was actually pretty surprised with how with what they decided to put out. It's got some funny moments, like a movie that gets me to laugh. Like, that's good. And I think they did a pretty good job with it. Was entertaining, despite how I'm not like just going over the moon with, like, it's not like I'm like, oh, such a great story and drag performances like that. But like, the sum of all its parts, though, end up being more entertaining for me. It's something I feel like I could return to. I might even be willing to go to catch it in theaters again, because it's still a fun story. The way they did it.
Also, I heard that the beginning of Power Rangers, they adapted more of, at least with the beginning segment, they stayed more connected with Max Landis's original vision for the movie, at least in the beginning.
I don't know. I haven't read his whole script. I've heard his interpretation of the Rangers, and I don't think that I don't see that connection.
No, not the Rangers, but the stuff with Rita and Zordon.
Okay.
That I read the whole script, and those two things are kind of the main inspiration that was taken from Max Landis'
script.
Okay,
I'll have to go read his script. I only read like an excerpt version of it.
I really liked it. It's a quick read. I think with Max Landis, again, I'm not a huge movie guy, but like, I really like reading his scripts, just because they don't feel like with a lot of other scripts, like, you feel like a lot of pomp, and you feel like, like, oh, this is like a big movie script. But with Max's scripts, it feels like you're just talking to him.
Yeah, it feels like you're in the room with him, and he's just kind of like sitting at a table giving you the pitch on what he sees. That's how the portion that I read came across. And so I'd definitely be down to read the full version of it. But
nice. You were saying the Power Rangers is bad?
It's bad to me. Maybe it's not bad to anyone else.
Ian, do you not think like the Power Rangers TV show was bad? Like,
it's pretty cringy.
I think it for the time that it came out, I think the fact that it even exists is a amazing accomplishment. Because if you think about it, So Power Rangers was really popular, or like Sentai Rangers were very popular in Japan. Mm-hmm. In Japan, and then some company was like, "Hey, how about we just take the parts from the Japanese show and then just record a bunch of American children doing weird flip kicks?"
I mean, if you want to
and
talk
then
about-
like splice that together.
I mean,
and then on top of that, the conscious decision to make the cast a multiracial, like multi-religious cast was like crazy in the early 90s. Like, you can't even get those races together in one property now, like
true.
At all. Like, and in one show in the goddamn early 90s, where things were still like super turbulent, even more so than now, like you had a African-American male main character, like that was a cool guy. He wasn't portrayed in a negative light. He was like a cool, smart guy who went to high school and he liked going to high school.
Who fought by breakdancing.
Yeah.
They all fought by breakdancing. All of them did.
So maybe bad is like, the word. So would be more appropriate
to
say.
I agree with you when you say bad.
So they had a Jewish main character. So like that's the first time I ever saw that.
To be more appropriate is that maybe what I should say is Power Rangers is something that I grew out of, and on returning to it, I don't feel holds up very well. But I guess I couldn't call it bad, because I mean it, from a marketing standpoint, that's a business standpoint, that's a very excellent move. Like, hey, let's take something and let's take all the best parts and just add our own parts to it and create our own show.
Here's my thing when it comes to Power Rangers is that Power Rangers, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and I watched it on Twitch and I kind of confirmed it for myself, is pretty bad. Like, the acting is really, even for like a kids show, like the acting is way over the top, and I guess that was the norm for early 90s. Every episode is the same exact thing, like, and once again, it's early 90s kids show, makes sense. All my criticisms when it comes to Power Rangers boils down to the fact that like it's a very early 90s kids show, and so like it is what it's supposed to be, and it serves its purpose. But I feel like watching it now, it's just like, man, this is like really like pretty bad. But also, like, that was Mighty Morphin for me. Like, I watched some of the Wild Force Power Rangers, which like was my favorite season growing up, and watching that, I was like, you know what, this stuff is pretty good. And so I think it just depends when you're talking about Power Rangers. I don't know if that helps at all,
but I mean, I don't know. I, from my memory, I'm only going off memory, and like I did go back and see like the first episode, but I mean, maybe I'd have to watch more episodes. But I'm just saying, from the little bit that I remember, it's a pretty cringeworthy memory. So maybe that's why I'm quick to judge, because I'm just going off memory. But given what it was and what they've turned it into, I think it's not a bad reinterpretation. I'm not really the audience for it, because some things were. Yeah, like I had some problems with the movie too, but overall, I think for in general, like audiences, especially like you know, young adults and kids, will really enjoy it.
Nice.
And so, I was entertained. I thought I had a good time during it too. So
we're running out of time.
Okay.
We have like a lot of questions, but
okay.
I want to get your summary. What's like your summary real quick of like the film, films that have come out for these first 3 months, like of the quality of it. Do you feel like it's been like a very strong first part of the year, or do you feel like compared to like previous years things could have been better, or like are there certain films that are standout that people need to see? Like, what are your thoughts?
There's plenty out there for most audiences. There's something, yeah, like there's, you know, there's Beauty and the Beast, so that gets all the Disney fans, young and old, who are seeing it for the first time or remade. Same with Power Rangers. There's Kong Skull Island, you know, like a lot of these are like something that's going to hit various ages. You know, people that grew up watching King Kong and kids that for the first time are seeing their first monster movie. So I think there's a lot for everybody. It's not exactly a strong year or beginning of the year for me personally, because I like, as much as I dig like a blockbuster, a popcorn film, I do like more, I'm much more a fan of romance or drama, and so we haven't quite hit that yet. I'm guessing that's gonna be later on in the year, more towards winter or fall. So I mean, for all generic audiences, I think it's a really good year
Nice.
And it's only going to get better when summer gets around, because you're going to get more like Fast and Furious movies, all the Marvel movies. And,
awesome. Yeah, dude, I'm super hyped for Thor, which mm-hmm. I think is the end of the year. And I'm never hyped for Thor. Usually I hate the Thor movies, but like the kind of thought of like a Thor and Hulk movie kind of strikes me as very interesting. If that's the case, I don't even know if that's like officially the case, but I think that's what I've heard. And so let's get into questions. Cool. Real quick. We got more questions than usual, actually. We have like four questions. So we'll kind of blast through them. First question comes from Chase Williams at Bodacious Chase on Twitter. He asks,
"Yo, Chase,
how can the art of framing, editing, and other film techniques be used to tell a narrative stronger than dialogue?"
Wait, what?
So how can like how can
I mean, not that that's framing... a bad question. I just am caught off guard because I thought I'd vetted all these questions earlier, and so just catching me off guard. Okay. Like, but that one went right.
How can how can framing, editing, and film techniques help to make the story better as opposed to dialogue?
I mean, that is the thing we're often encouraged to do, is to show, don't tell. Sometimes people will just go with like a big exposition dump. That's actually a kind of a gripe I had during Power Rangers, actually, both just kind of piggyback off that. But framing, it's because he's talking about both framing and editing, and so I'm trying to tackle one after another. So framing, think about, man, these are great questions that I feel like I wanna take.
Do you want me to go first and you can just think?
Yeah, go ahead.
So when you're just talking in dialogue, you only have that audio medium, so you can't really, you can't have a deeper experience. But with a movie, you can have these zoom shots, you can have these wide angles, you as the filmmaker not only determine what the audience sees, but also experiences as a whole, like a multi-sense experience. So it's just another layer that you can add on. And with the craft of making a movie, really good filmmakers can make you feel things just by how the camera moves and how the camera kind of like pans or how the camera zooms. And they can direct your eyes in a certain way to make you feel a certain way. Am I right or wrong in that aspect?
I mean, it makes sense. Wasn't sure I was following.
Well, no, because more tools you can do more shit, essentially.
Yes, that is true. It's just you said I'm gonna answer while you think, so I was thinking instead of listening to your answer.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah,
I like wrote down in the doc to mention Edgar Wright, because Edgar Wright for me, he is a great visual storyteller. Like, when I think of Scott Pilgrim or I think of Hot Fuzz or whatever, like when I think of those movies, I think specifically of the way they were told visually. Like the transitions he uses are probably some of the best I've seen in terms of like his movies are comedies, right? And his comedy, like the way he uses like the fact that the movies he's showing are comedies, the fact that the way he uses that in the editing and has like these clever cuts that kind of makes everything flow together very naturally, I think works hand in hand with the narrative being told in the movie or in the story. And also, like, even like audio wise like the Scott Pilgrim versus the World, right, is a very like musical film. And like, I don't know, he makes sort of like the cinematography, I think the mise-en-scene is like a film word. He kind of makes that stuff kind of
mise-en-scene is what mise-en-scene.
I took like one film class and I always read it in my
that's
in
the
my
one word I didn't learn.
Mise-en-scene. But yeah, no, he makes everything kind of come together in sort of a very clever and beautiful way. And so, like, also Scott Pilgrim, very visual editing and like the transitions in there. Like, you'll get like there's one scene where he's walking with Ramona, and like I think they're on a date or whatever. And all of a sudden, like, I think he's like spacing out or something. But then like he's like in this almost like alternate dimension and just like walking. There's like a door, and like he goes through that door, and all of a sudden the transition from scene to scene is very clever. Like, there's another one where he I think he's at a party, maybe. He's somewhere. Then he walks into the bathroom. Then he takes a pee. Then as he's taking a pee, there's like a pee bar, like a video game like bar that's like kind of draining. And then like he does that, and then like he leaves out the door. But he, but when he opens the door, he's like in like a hallway or something.
That's
and like stuff like that, where like you're transitioning to like the next scene, but he does it in like a way that is a lot more natural and a lot more visual, and a lot, it tells more of a story, or adds more to the story than like, rather than just like a cut would. Even like with the pee bar thing, like that's the thing that doesn't even need to be there, but it's there because it adds, it adds to the style, and it feels like more than just like, I don't know, either a cut or like a transition. It feels like something that's adding, giving more to the
adds personality.
Yeah, and personality too. And so,
yeah, that particular example, like that's a good example of using, transitioning from one scene to the next, instead of using cut or something in post or camera or whatever. Like you're using the environment. They actually physically change the environment. That way they change the scene. Were you going to add anything else?
That was pretty much my whole
spiel. No, that was great, man. We should just talk Scott Pilgrim sometime on after credits. So looking at these two, I was realizing why I was having such a hard time with framing, and that's like because I needed to think about who am I, and I'm actually I lean much more towards editing versus I mean I know everybody sees me with the camera, so they're like, oh well, Christian, he's the camera guy, he probably knows a lot about like being a director of photography or composition stuff, but that's actually not exactly my strong point at all. So I can't speak, just to be honest with you, I can't speak too much about framing. I know there's a whole art behind it, and there's lots of great, there's other people with much better insight than I, but I can speak to editing though, because that's something I really enjoy. I think editing is great for telling a dialogue, or telling narrative, is because it's for me, editing is very musical, in that you're controlling the rhythm of the scene. And you know, a really good editor will, metaphorical. I speak in tongues, in riddles, and so I hope this makes sense when I say this, but like the rhythm you're editing will tap into the audience's heartbeat, if that makes sense. Like, you know, quick cuts will excite the audience, get their heart racing, or you can let the scenes be long, have long takes before you cut, and let them breathe and let the audience either become at ease or like just really get sucked into the scene, what's going on. And so I think controlling that rhythm or that tempo of the scene is a good way to, you know, to get your narrative across.
Nice.
That's, you know, just what I think.
So our next question comes from Moises at Platano Ranger on Twitter. He asks, what's the most mind-blowing shot you've ever seen in a movie? And I think right off the bat for me, the one that comes to mind, and this is not even a movie, this is Sherlock, the television show.
Oh, yeah.
There's a shot in the latest season where he's kind of like on drugs a little bit. Or maybe a lot of it, I don't even know. And he's trying to put together, like, so Sherlock by itself, and I probably should have brought this up during the last question, but like it also does stuff with like clever editing and like the visualization of Sherlock's thought process is very compelling, I think, in this show. Like they do a great job of telling to the viewer what is Sherlock thinking, and how exactly like is he processing information. And how do we convey that to the viewer? Like they do a good job of answering that. And one of the things they do is like there's like a whole like maybe a couple minutes of like him coming to the realization of a certain revelation that he's having for this like mystery that he's solving. And it's just like a whole like couple minutes of him replaying things in his mind and kind of like going crazy because he's on drugs, but at the same time trying to put these things together and recalling things. And then like it ends with him falling how does it go? I think he's like falling backwards, and then like he falls to the ground, and then like I think the pavement behind him, something happens where he like transit. It's another scene transition where like it transitions to him in his apartment, but they do it in such a clever way, where like it is very seamless of like either like the pavement behind him as he falls like whittles away, or like it turns into like a sheet or something. I don't know. They do something where I was like, oh, dude, that's crazy. I think that's my answer.
Might have to revisit that episode.
Oh yeah, I can send you a video. There's a YouTuber who you probably know. It's either actually I think it is Nerdwriter for sure. Like he did a video on it, and I watched that video, and I was like, yeah, that was actually pretty great.
I'll check it out. I haven't seen Sherlock since like the last season, so I got to catch up actually on that most recent release.
The latest season had a couple good episodes. I don't know if it's as good as the previous seasons, but I think there are a few episodes in there that I was like, yeah, this is great. Bless you.
Thanks. Nice. Ian, did you want to go? Yours?
I mean, I can't really think of any shots in particular, really. Like, again, I'm not a big movie guy. I'm more of an anime guy or, like, that sort of stuff. So I can't really think off the top of my head any shot in particular.
Mm-hmm. If you want to take some time to think or whether you're passing, I guess I can just give one. I feel like this is cheating. You tell me, man. So one of my favorite movies is a movie called Victoria. And, I mean, it's such a mind-blowing film because it all is one take. So just like the camera starts and it just keeps rolling for an hour and a half. And so that's pretty mind-blowing shot in that the shot never ends until the movie ends. It was a pretty fantastic film. But no, that's just kind of like my stunt option. But but for real, like if we're being a bit more just like movies, people, it's a foreign film too, so I don't know how many people would have seen it, but just a shot more people might be familiar with that just like had me grinning like from ear to ear in the theater was from Pacific Rim, where it's one of the it's a fight with like the dragon kind of kaiju. There's the shot, and it's even in the trailer, where you're on the street level and the giant Jaeger feet come by, and you just get this from the bottom up look of the robot of the Jaeger, and then he's dragging a fucking boat and he's about to just club the kaiju with it, and it just looked so good being on the big screen seeing that. It was a really great shot that I just it just went for what is like the coolest thing we can do. It wasn't like what's practical or anything, you know. It's just like it was just such a good like stylistic shot that I really liked a lot.
Nice. So this next question will be our last question just because of time. Okay. And also the other question we have is good for our show next week because it'll be more relevant then. But our last question comes from Alex Van Aken. He asks, tips for people diving into the waters of editing. Any great resources, channels to follow, etc.?
As far as resources, like I saw a lot of people respond to him with Film Riot, and I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that myself. Like Film Riot, they're a great group of guys that they give how-tos on how to build equipment, how to do edits, how to do special effects, and like they'll do a short film and then just completely break it down. Like, here's how we did the special effect for it. Here's how we came up with it. Here's how we got around these problems. And so, in general, that's a great filmmaking resource. Rocket Jump Film School. Rocket Jump is the channel from Freddie Wong, who's a really big, well-known YouTuber, and he has this Rocket Jump Film School where they tackle everything from behind the scenes, like being a production assistant, to like working on a set. They had like a show on Hulu, and I think they moved the episodes to YouTube now called Rocket Jump Film School also, that they made a short, and they would just completely break it down into like the production process. And so it's a great substitute for film school. If I hadn't gone to film school, I would just go to that, just Rocket Jump Film School, because it's really insightful. As for editing though, just like just grab material, whether it's from your phone or whatever, just recut stuff and get used to the tools, the shortcuts. Some exercises that we did in school was like we cut our own trailers. Like, you know, I'm sure, you know, Alex watches lots of trailers, whether they're for movies or video games. So like, you know, download like some footage and cut it in a different way, or maybe cut it to a different song. And as you're practicing cutting to the beat or stuff like that, it's just a good exercise.
Nice. Awesome. I mean, if I was to say anything, I'm not like well-versed in film like Christian is, but I think one thing I do that kind of inspires my editing when it comes to like either reviews or video essays and stuff is watching directors that I like. And so like I've been mentioning Edgar Wright left and right, no pun intended, this whole episode. And that's because like that's because I really enjoy like how he puts together stuff, and I try to like have that reflect in my editing. And I try to like, because he does like a lot of stuff with like audio cues and like the clever transitions and stuff, and like I don't have the ability to do transitions like he does, and so like that's kind of off the table for me. But I do try to do, when I do transitions, I try to always time it with something audio wise, so it's so it's less jarring, and two, so that things flow together. And so like I probably should watch more like either Film Riot or more stuff that gives you more technical teaches you more technical skills and stuff like that, instead of me where I just like I look for stylistic stuff and try to implement it with like already what I know, which is not that much. And so yeah, I don't know. I'd say follow Christian's advice, and then
you actually gave like a really good resource that you remind me of, a great resource, which is the filmmakers themselves. Like watch the Blu-rays, get and just dive into. That's what I did growing up. Was I just completely dived into the special features, the commentaries, just look up interviews with these filmmakers, whether they're the directors or the actors, and that's like a lot of them, just like you and I are willing to talk about, you know, the things we love, they will talk about, you know, there's lots of like blood, sweat, and tears that goes into these films, and so they're more than happy to talk about them in interviews and on these special feature DVDs and stuff like that. So you can get a lot of insight from, you know, straight from the source if you just look for it.
Nice, awesome. Well, Christian, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Dude, I'm so glad.
Really appreciate you.
Could have been here.
I think this has been a great episode. Like, we don't usually talk about movies, and so like this has been like a great opportunity to actually like get that stuff out there. And since I haven't seen any films, and Ian hasn't seen any films that have come out this year, and so having you be on has been like a great kind of opportunity to just like talk about that stuff, because like once again, movies fit in with like what we're about. Like, we're about games and we're about culture and. Movies is like pop culture. Like, I think movies is like the main thing when it comes to pop culture, what people look to.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, thank you for coming on. Remember, for those listening, you can find Christian on Twitter at PixelBrave. You can find him on youtube.com/PixelBrave. Is there anything I'm missing
as far as like plugs? I'm PixelBrave everywhere. So PSN ID, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitch. I mean, I don't Twitch stream or anything, but like you'll see my name there in the chat, like on Kind of Funny Morning Show, Twitter. The only thing I wanted to, okay, yeah, so one other thing I wanted to plug real quick, which is, now that we're speaking of movies, like, dude, a movie you gotta check out is Your Name. Check out the video that I put out on my YouTube channel, and listen to me and Luis talk about it. It's coming out in about a week for a very select few days, like maybe only like a weekend, but I think you should definitely check it out.
Nice. Awesome. So people, check that out. Once again, thank you for coming on. I've enjoyed this episode. Like, it's been a good switch of pace. And always, whenever you have a third person on, that means I get to talk less, which is always a great thing. And so remember, for those listening, the OK Beast podcast is a gaming and nerd culture centric show where a couple of friends come together and talk. Dang it, I did it again. The inflection. Dang it. Where a couple of friends come together and talk about what's going on in our world. We are the official podcast of OKBeast.com. If you like the show, remember to subscribe to us on your streaming service of choice. Visit OKBeast.com and follow at OKBeastNow on Twitter. You can't imagine how many times I re-record my reviews in my essays and stuff. It takes like an hour. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next episode.
Yeah, check out Ian's anime podcast at, where is that?
It's not out yet. Don't talk about it.